Things.
Oh God, that's great. Well,
we'll see.
We are hoping that we will do, and we could even do a little karaoke. I was warned that if I ever do karaoke again, people would not would tune out the station for good. But people don't mind your karaoke, so if you could, if you'd be willing to do it that way, and I think you sort of like to, right?
I sort of like to.
Okay, good. Well, let's start the show officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KFCO Radio.
Good morning to all of you people out there in Radio Land.
Now there's a cliche.
Hello, all you people out in Radio Land. That's pretty good. Yeah, welcome to hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station and mine and everybody who has, you know, who's listened to us. It's KSCO AM 1080. Stay with us for the next 2 hours. You'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Don't mean to spoil your nice holiday weekend, but are you as concerned as I am about the growing problem of gangs and violence in our Monterey Bay area? Salinas and Watsonville have been meccas of this for years, but Santa Cruz, Monterey, Carmel, Aptos, Capitola? We can't afford to be smug just because we live in these so-called safer places, because things are changing fast, particularly as the economy continues to sink. Terry Medina was the highly respected police chief of Watsonville for many years, but now he is retired and enjoying life as a private citizen. And as you might expect, he looks great. He has agreed to appear on the next KSCO special to talk with us about topics of interest to us all. It's not every day that you get to speak candidly with a former local police chief on your favorite radio station or elsewhere for that matter, so plan on being with us this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on K for Constant, S for Stimulating, C for Conversation, and O for Opinion Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. If there was ever a guest who deserved a KSCO special fanfare music bit, it is you, Terry Medina. Welcome back to KSCO.
Hey, thank you very much, Michael. It's been, a couple of years, I think, since I've been here?
God, I don't know. How long have you been free?
Well, I retired January of this year, so I've been a civilian for 7 months.
You must be having a blast.
You know what? I'm not as busy as I was, but I'm certainly as busy as I want to be.
Uh-huh.
So, and Rotary, you know, I'm the incoming president in Rotary in Watsonville, and that is taking up a lot more time than I thought it would, actually.
You know, all those years that you were chief of police for the city of Watsonville, and before that, many years with the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Office, right?
Sheriff's Office, the district attorney's office, Cabrillo College.
What is 40 something years?
42.
42 years in law enforcement.
Right.
Whoa.
That goes back.
So we've had you on the station before. Not very much. I mean, I don't know where all the years went, because it's always great. People love to talk to police chiefs and stuff and ask them questions and grill them and this and that. Now they can do it. And And you never said no. You never said no. We just, I don't know, we were just sort of lazy.
I don't know. I've done this over a period of time. I don't know. I think since I've been in Watsonville, I've probably done some show or another here for 7 or 8 times.
And, yeah. Well, good.
You know. But let me, you know what I want to do? Let's turn the tables on the talk show host here for a minute.
What?
Yeah. I want to talk about the Zwirlings and the family when they lived on Palm Street.
Oh, my God.
Right down the street from where I lived at Mission and Palm. That's where I lived. and your family, and I'm not sure you were even born yet.
I was minus three or four or five or six.
You know, and
yeah, because I don't remember any palms to you. I've heard about it, but yeah. I haven't heard what you're going to say. I'm a little nervous.
So one of the great swirling stories, your brother Lewis riding down the middle of the street on the handlebars of another neighbor kid. Might have been Philip Brown. I'm not sure. And bam, over the bike goes. Your brother takes this big either broken nose or broken lip, or it was scared the heck out of me. That's the first time I saw a lot of blood, and he was screaming. Your mother came running out of the house and off to the doctor or hospital they went. That was like the major trauma of my young, you know, oh. I mean, I was only like 5 years old or something.
I'll be darned. Gee.
And your sister, I still call your sister Jeannie, but everybody calls her Regina. That's
Except for my mom. She's still Jeannie to my mom.
And, you know.
And she's Regina-er to me, R-E-G-I-N-E-R.
Well, she was the most beautiful, you know, when I was five or six, she was like, oh, I went and told my mom, oh, Jeannie, I just love Jeannie.
Oh,
and so there's a big picture of Jeannie and me and a couple other neighborhood kids in a wagon that somebody still has floating around.
Oh, boy, I missed all the fun stuff.
So you missed that. And then later in life, in my like my first year in law enforcement, maybe when I was starting at the sheriff's office, I can't remember, could be when I was an intern at the DA's office, but... You know, when you're a young cop, you got to be cool. And one of the cool things to do was to wear, when you worked the night shift, so I had to be in the sheriff's office then, I guess, you had to wear yellow glasses. Because the
I sort of remember
so
that.
So the rumor was that, you know, at night, it made things a little brighter. It helped your vision a little bit. Cars, headlights wouldn't bother you as much. So you just had to have the right kind of yellow glasses. And who did I go to but Dr. Bernard Zwirling?
Oh, what a coincidence. So did I.
And I had, like, great eyes, and he goes, why are you here? I said, because I got to have these yellow glasses. He goes, okay. And so I remember I wanted him to look like John Lennon, kind of the round, you know,
So Dad didn't fight you on that. He didn't say, what the hell do you want to put? I could see him doing that.
Yeah, he was trying to talk me out. He says, you're going to buy these glasses, and they're expensive, and you don't need them.
Yep, that's him all right.
And I said, no, I got to have these. You know, you don't understand.
Yeah, clearly he didn't, right?
But, you know, he said, okay.
I'll be darned. Jeez, well, them's were the good old days. So Terry...
And you, though, went to...
Mission Hill.
See, because you missed Palm Street, I guess.
I didn't get to go to Bayview.
You didn't go to Bayview. I was a Bayview kid.
I got
kid.
To be a kindergarten kid at Laurel School, and just for the 1 year for kindergarten. And then first, second, third, and part of fourth grade. No, the second half of fourth grade at Mission Hill. Then they opened Westlake, and I got to be one of the first students to open up Westlake. And so I went to fifth grade and sixth grade there. Half of fifth grade and sixth grade there. And then back to Mission Hill for 2 years. And you got to stay at Mission Hill for 3 years, right?
No, I think I was there for four. Let's see, six, seven, eight, and nine.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, that was, and they, you know what I found out just a little while ago? Mission Hill, when I was there, it was Mission Hill Matadors.
Yeah.
It was that way forever.
Yeah.
Apparently, a number of years ago, you couldn't be the Matadors anymore. And now they're the...
Oh, geez.
I don't know. The Broncos or the something.
This is a political correct outrage.
I don't know.
I mean, an outrage of political correctness. I mean, why? What's the problem?
I assume that being a matador wasn't good for animals or something. I'm not sure what the deal was. I was surprised. Because I marched in the Mission Hill marching band, and we had the little sashes, and it was kind of a mission... The mission flavor and matadors and Spanish. I don't know. Anyway, there you go.
And then Santa Cruz High is...
Santa Cruz High. I just delivered the keynote graduation speech at the graduation the last couple of weeks. And the Big Red Band isn't the Big Red Band anymore. It's, oh gosh, the Santa Cruz High Regimental. Oh, I can't remember the name, but they changed the name. And the red color is darker red because of the kind of goes into your promo.
I do not like changes like this. It flies in the face of tradition.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah, tradition. We're talking with Terry Medina, formerly the best known in Santa Cruz County as the police chief of the city of Watsonville for how many years, Terry?
Well, I was the chief for 20 years, and I was in Watsonville 28.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went there as a captain.
Ah.
So, and Ray Belgard was the chief when I went there in 1982.
What a prince of a guy.
Great man. He was a great man. Hopefully talk a little bit about him during the morning. And some of my other mentors, Gene Wright when I was at Cabrillo College, and Peter Chang and Ray Belgard and a whole bunch of people.
How did you... Did you always know that you were headed for a career in law enforcement? Your dad was a realtor, right?
My dad was a realtor, but before he was a realtor, he worked in sales, and he owned bars, actually. You know where the 1007 Club is?
Sure, sure.
Well, that used to be the East Side Tavern.
Okay.
And my dad owned that with two other partners.
Huh.
Glenn Lundeen, I think, and one of the Locatellis. And so the three of them had that place.
While your dad was a realtor, or did he go into real estate afterwards?
He went into real estate much later in his life, actually.
Oh. And Al Medina, you've seen the signs if you've been here for any amount of years,
yeah.
Right?
So. Oh, gosh. He did well. But, you know, that was at a time when it was difficult being a realtor. Of course, right now we're in a time that it's difficult being a realtor. But
how true.
You know. So my dad was such an interesting guy. You know, he was always worked for himself, self-motivated. I didn't realize until later in my life how much World War II played in his life. And, you know, as Tom Brokaw wrote about that generation, oh my gosh, that was huge in the life of all of those guys that saw action in Europe or the Pacific. And so
because
my dad
he didn't talk about
guys.
It very much when you were growing up.
When he and his brothers got together, there's a lot of Medinas. You know, there was, you know, Billy, Walter, Arthur, Tony. And they were all in some part of the war. And they would talk about it when I was small, but not in terms that, in sad terms or in terms of seeing people die and all that stuff, but in terms of, you know, the army and
camaraderie.
Yeah, kind of thing. And it wasn't till real late, till my dad was in his 80s, did I see him actually break down a couple of times recalling certain bad things in France and Germany and Belgium. And I realized then, I wish I had realized it earlier, how much that affected his life.
Well, you know who realized that, who did realize that and wrote a book about it is our own Michael Olson, Tales from the Tin Can. And it sounds like, I don't know whether... Sounds like if he didn't, your dad would have been a perfect interview for
yeah.
the book. You know,
yeah,
like,
probably
you know.
Would have been. Or my Uncle Walter. Gosh, my Uncle Walter was
so wounded. What motivated you to go into law enforcement, of all things?
Well, here's how it went. My dad wanted me to go into the real estate business with him. And I graduated from Santa Cruz High School, and the plan was that I would go to Cabrillo and... take a lot of business classes and accounting and do that, take the real estate examination. And I remember my dad saying, you know, and now I'm about 18 when he's telling me this. When you're 30 years old, you'll be able to retire. And he was excited telling me that. But when you're 18 years old, retirement isn't even a word you understand.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really didn't mean anything to me. But I was dutifully going along and hating every class that I had. And the real estate office was very boring for me. And I just wasn't inclined to it.
Yeah.
So I was really more interested in party and playing and playing baseball at Cabrillo. But as things got tougher for me, they brought a man from Fresno to start a brand new program. This would have been 1966 or 67.
Okay.
That had never been at Cabrillo before. And it was called then the Police Science Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was developed by a man named Gene Wright. And Gene Wright is still in Santa Cruz today. He lives out on the west side. Great guy. And he developed this program, all comprehensive. You could graduate with a police science degree at a community college at Cabrillo. And he forged a partnership with the sheriff's office to be the parent organization for people in this program. And he created actually a job for second-year students. And after a while, it became, you know, because I seemed like I was at Cabrillo for about 4 years. I don't know. But anyway, we actually got paid to be the police officers on campus. 24 hours a day.
It's like work study.
It was fabulous. And, you know, it turned out to be a way for me to begin to learn about police work from the service point of view rather than an enforcement point of view, because on the campus it was really all about providing service to faculty, students. We did everything. We just did everything. And all of the mentorship and the department affiliation came from the sheriff's office. So naturally, everybody in that program wanted to go to work for the sheriff's office. And there's a lot of local guys around that did that. Wally Walker, Stony Brook, gosh, I could probably name a few more that went on to careers because of that.
Gee. So you went from Cabrillo to the DA's office or inspector? You were Inspector Terry Medina once.
For a while. Yeah. But the first time I was in the district attorney's office, I was an intern in this police program. And Dick Pease was the district attorney.
Right, I remember.
And right at the transition, he hired two kids at Cabrillo. Terry Bollicky, who lived in Capitola, and myself. And we started off in child support interviews and something else. I can't remember. But all we did is interview people all day long about finances and how much money they could pay for their kids. And so we interviewed people all day long. So that was another great thing that helped me later on. When you sit there and interview different people all day long, you really get a sense of,
sure,
of what you're doing. And Dick Pease then loses the election to Peter Chang,
yeah,
who happened to be a Santa Cruz resident but was a deputy DA in Monterey County.
Yeah.
And he and a guy named Ray Belgard worked in Monterey County. Ray's whole law enforcement career before he came to the Santa Cruz DA's office was in the city of Salinas and the Monterey County DA's office. So they had partnered in some big cases, law enforcement, murder cases, cases at the Soledad prison. So Chang runs over here. He wins. Pease is out. They had district attorney investigators, they called them at the time. Those guys got really upset. And they were good guys, too. Ole Thompson was a great guy. They had the ability to do polygraphs. I remember that.
Wait a minute. When there's a changing of the guard, does that mean that the investigators leave, too?
No. They just got frustrated, I guess, and so they all found different jobs, and they all left, except for Jim Lake, who had come to the DA's office from Watsonville PD or the sheriff's office. I can't remember which now. But so there was one real investigator left during that transition because they all decided to go other places. Walter Burleson was one of the guys there, and he went on to the Pentagon and was a very famous polygraph investigator, I think. So Peter Chang starts office with, I think, about three lawyers and three investigators, two of which are Cabrillo interns.
This is the late 60s, right?
It was definitely. I'd say 67, maybe. Okay. Yeah, about 67.
About the time I was doing the high school radio show here at KSCO.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, Balicki and I were, what are we, 19 then? I can't remember. 20?
Sounds 19 about
or
right.
20. And so we, all of a sudden we felt important, and things were kind of, I don't know, you know, Peter Chang was a great prosecutor, wasn't a great organizer. But Ray Belgard came over, stabilized the office, and he and I became lifelong friends, and he became the godfather of my first child. And, you know, it was, I just learned so much during those times that I didn't realize how much I was learning at the time. But I knew I wanted to belong to the sheriff's office. That was my goal.
And the first time I remember seeing you at the sheriff's office, that's when the sheriff's office was where the McPherson Center of Art and History is.
Right, on Front Street.
It was a stark old building with an echoey concrete stairwell. And going up that stairwell, you were coming down. I was on the way up to be fingerprinted. Uh-huh. I was working for teleprompter cable TV, and I wanted to get a press pass so bad, so badly that they said, well, you're going to have to come down and get your fingerprinted. If the sheriff Doug James at the time was if he likes you, then you'll get your press pass.
Yeah.
I got my press pass.
Right.
It was great. But on the way up to get the fingerprinted, I saw you and I said, God, you're a real important dude now. That was must about 4 or 5 years.
Let me tell you, most everybody in the whole city of Santa Cruz at the time went, what? You're a cop? I can't believe that.
Now, okay. In all the years that you were a cop, did you ever kill anybody?
Nope.
Come close?
One time.
Mm-hmm.
In Davenport.
What happened?
Davenport was a long way. We covered Davenport from the Live Oak beat. So if you were, back in those days, we didn't have beats numbered. It was called the North Central. And so if you were North Central, you were staying in Live Oak, and you might take a trip to Davenport every once in a while. But there was a call to Davenport. You remember there was an old jail there. There was actually a jail back in the 1800s,
no,
early
1900s. I don't remember that. Huh.
And it was kind of, just an empty building, a shell of a building. And supposedly there was some drunk guy causing a disturbance around the old hotel. The Davenport Hotel, I guess that's what it was. It's now where the cash store is.
Okay.
And so there was this drunk causing a problem between the store and the old hotel. So I drive from Live Oak all the way to Davenport, and they said, well, we think the guy went over to he's over in the old jail. So, and, you know, in those days, there's, what, 3 deputies on duty at any given time in the whole county. So there's nobody that's within 30 minutes of me.
Yeah.
So I go to the old jail, and I come around the corner, and there's a guy sitting at the end of this concrete room, and obviously drunk. And so I stopped, and I kept some protection by the wall, and I asked him to show me your hands. And I was talking to him, and he wasn't responding too well. And so I was starting to get a little worried. I unsnapped my gun and put it down at my side, and I said, hey, you know, show me your hands. Let's talk about this. And he came up with a gun in his hand. So I was getting ready to shoot him, and he dropped it. And that was it.
Lucky for him. Yeah, it's good. We're talking with Terry Medina. Long distinguished career in law enforcement here in Santa Cruz County. Most recently, 20 years as chief of police for the city of Watsonville. And it doesn't happen very often. We're just sort of catching up on you know, the past. And if you want to call and talk to Terry, I guess we can start inviting callers. And let's see, should we do a commercial break now, Nikki, or should we do it a little later on? What do you think? We got a bunch of them today, or? Okay, yeah? Okay, we'll do a commercial break right now. So stay with us. When we come back, and you can start dialing 479-1080 if you want to talk to Terry Medina on the Saturday special on AM 1080. KSCO, your favorite radio station, back in after this commercial break. Stay with us.
MZ here with a puzzle I'd like you to help me solve. There's this great restaurant in Freedom, the California Grill, located in the shopping center on the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards. The food is fresh, wonderful, and of the highest quality. The portions are generous and the prices are reasonable. Much of the menu is from the popular Adolph's Restaurant. Yes, the Adolph's that everyone misses, a favorite in Santa Cruz for over 50 years until it closed several years ago. California Grill is the preferred restaurant for many of the area's most discerning diners because the owners, Paul and Neely Tarabi, guarantee the satisfaction of all their customers, and nobody ever leaves the California Grill without being totally happy. Now, here's the puzzle. Why is the California Grill not packed with a line around the block all the time? It deserves to be. It's that good. Yet this fine dining establishment, which is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., can always seat you and serve you immediately. Try it yourself and see what I mean. Mention KSCO and receive a free Spumoni dessert. Then help me solve the puzzle of why the California Grill, which should be jam-packed all the time, is not.
I've learned a few things cruising this coastline the last 30 years. Let's be clear about it. Dumping sewage anywhere in our waterways pollutes the environment. It's simple. Remember to plan ahead. Boats with holding tanks must pull in and pump out at shoreside pump-out stations. If you have a boat without a holding tank, plan your trip to use shoreside restrooms.
Don't waste away our waterways. Proper disposal of sewage protects our waterways. Dump at the pump.
Hey, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
For more information, visit our website at boatresponsibly.com. Brought to you by the California Department of Boating and Waterways.
Hi, everyone. This is Judy DeVilbiss. You know, life is about a lot of choices. My choice was to get involved with the Youngevity Company. So every morning, I get up, and first thing I do is go out into the kitchen, and I mix up my 90-nutrient program from Youngevity. I love it, but best of all, about 6 months ago, or maybe a little longer, I decided that I'd like to go out and try running. And actually, I go out and I compete. And to my amazement, I'm actually coming in first in my class. I've actually won 3 first prizes, which really makes me feel great. Hey, come on, I'm 66 years old. I'm not brand new. But I'll tell you what, every day when I'm going to race, the first thing I do in the morning is take the Ultimate Classic with the Rainforest, and I shoot it down, and then I go about my business and go out and do my run. I just did one today, and hey, you know what? I won. Come on, 888-352-7500. Don't you want to be a winner? 888-352-7500.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring some great 4th of July produce specials. California Personal Seedless Watermelon, 2 for $5. California White Corn in the Husk, 3 for 99 cents. And Northwest Large Beautiful Bing Cherries, $2.49 a pound. From the farmer to our stores, local-grown 6-ounce packages of raspberries, blackberries, and 1-pound clamshell strawberries, all 2 for $4. In organics, we are featuring California romaine lettuce, 99 cents each, red and green seedless grapes, $1.69 a pound, and California black mission figs, $3.49 a basket. We have produce samples throughout the day.
Scotts Valley Market, Ben Lomond Market. Compare and save. Be sure to check their weekly price comparison sheet. Please visit them at mylocalgrocer.com.
Hi, it's Sophie again. And I just tried Youngevity's Cocogevity. And oh boy, this stuff tastes like bittersweet chocolate syrup. This stuff is so good, you could put it on ice cream. Even better, make your own Nature's Way ice cream like I do and put a ribbon of Cocogevity through it. And it's not just good for you, it's the best for you. It has pure cocogen extract, which has a higher level of antioxidants than any other food. You also get mangosteen, goji, and acai berry, foods that have such high levels of phytonutrients and antioxidants that they're prized all over the world for their health benefits. Cocogevity is so good, maybe it's too good. You'll be tempted to overdo it. Who would have thought? Chocolate as a supplement. What a beautiful world. For more information, I'm at 335-3216 or tastyvitamins at yahoo.com. Call or email me, and I'll send you my exclusive collection of recipes. Take care.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's Restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409. Well, I save my pennies and I save my dimes.
Giddy up, 409.
Before I knew there would be a time.
Giddy up, 409.
When I would buy a brand new
21 minutes before 11 a.m., hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and special guest Terry Medina. And if you want to call and ask Terry a law enforcement question or a personal question or a political question or whatever you want, it's now's the time to do it. 479-1080. That was sort of a neat – thank you, Nikki. Great, great bumper music. Thank you. Watsonville was not known for cruising like Santa Cruz was known for cruising, right? Why is that? You had a main drag, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
well,
it was.
You know what? You gotta remember, I wasn't there. So
that's right. You didn't get there until.
Yeah, my whole life was in Santa Cruz. But what I have learned from my adopted city, and I certainly love Watsonville and all the people of that time, they did cruise. And they cruised Main Street, and they had Pronto Pup and various places to go, and it was a big thing.
So that was sort of an ignorant thing that I just said. I mean, the only reason that Watsonville wasn't known for cruising to me is because I'm a Santa Cruz guy. You know? So obvious. All right, well, we had two callers. Now we're down to one. So here, Bonnie in Santa Cruz. You're on the air with MZ and Terry Medina.
Is it me?
It's you.
Oh, it's me.
It is
Hi,
you.
Terry. It's Bonnie Belcher.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hey.
How are you?
Hi, kiddo. Okay. My friend Judy just called and said you're on the air, and I just thought I'd call and say hi and tell you that we missed you at the reunion.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. So, Michael, I got to tell you, this lady, Bonnie and I, were born on December the 13th, same time.
Same year?
Same year, right?
We won't tell the year, though.
We won't tell them.
Wow.
Yeah, and she went all through.
How did that happen?
Bayview, Mission Hill, all that.
One in 365 chance of that happening.
There.
Or if it was a leap year, one in 366.
Right. There
yeah.
you go. So.
Well, I won't keep you. I just wanted to say hi and congratulate you on your retirement and hope I run into you.
Hey, thank you very much.
I hope it's not with your car.
Well, no.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care. Here, who's this? You're on the air on KSCO. Who is this? Hello? Oh, yeah. It got answered at exactly the same time I answered for the call screener. 479-1080 in area 831 if you want to call. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. I suppose if you want a fax, you can. Our fax number is 475-2967. If you do that, though, you got to call Nikki here, pilot in command at the radio station. Let her know that she needs to go up to the front office and retrieve the fax that you sent. We are talking with Terry Medina about all kinds of things. So
you know, Michael, let me talk a little bit about something that was going on concurrent to this whole Cabrillo thing.
Yeah.
United States Army Reserve, 422nd Military Police Company on Swift Street. So you got to remember that's the Vietnam era, the whole lottery thing. And we made it into the United States Army Reserve. I was in this MP company on Swift Street. Who was there when I got there? Bruce McPherson, Al McCommon, Joey Pappas. Oh, my God. I could – a ton of local guys. But they were like the cooks. Now, can you imagine McPherson, McCommon, Pappas? These guys didn't know how to operate a field kitchen. They barbecued everything. It was –
I wouldn't mind trying what they had to offer.
Oh, yeah, they could barbecue good, but they couldn't pass any inspection for, cooking things in the actual field ovens.
Hmm. Well, look who's here. It's none other than Loretta from from Watsonville. Hey, okay. Loretta.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just fine. How art thou?
I am just fine. I wanted to say hi to Terry. I hadn't seen him for a while, and congratulations on his retirement. I haven't seen him since he retired, matter of fact.
Right.
I came to his party, but I hadn't seen him since then.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Everything out on the ranch is going good?
Yeah, we have about 35 coming for lunch today.
Now, which Loretta and which ranch is this?
This is
Estrada.
Loretta Estrada. And
the Loretta Estrada on our station?
There you are.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, my God. This is our lucky day.
So you have 35 coming to the deer camp?
But now we built a new park up on top of the ranch. So we got a new place now that we go and entertain people in. So it's really nice and very secluded and kind of neat. So
right.
So the Dober family and the Estrada family today are getting together and we're having a barbecue for Arnold Harvey's birthday.
Wow.
So
tell them all.
Birthday's today.
Tell them all I said
that.
Hello.
I will. It's what I was calling for tomorrow. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but we're having that flag ceremony in front of Rogers House tomorrow at the fairgrounds. And I would love to see you there. And it's going to be a flag raising at 9 o'clock sharp tomorrow. And they're going to have a color guard. And it's going to be quite a ceremony.
When you say Terry, when you say have you there, do you mean Terry or do you mean Terry and me or do you mean Terry and me and our entire thousands of people who are listening?
I would love to see the entire thousands of people. Freedom Rotary has done a fantastic job on this. And Gary Durago was a fair board director for years. And he passed away. And this flagpole is going to be in his honor, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
Gary's gone. He was a pilot.
He was a pilot.
Yes, he was.
He was in the Sheriff's Air Squadron with me.
Yeah. He passed away 5 years ago come December.
Oh.
So anyway, it's going to be, we've put bleachers up, and I put the American bunting all around the bleachers, and they're going to have the ceremony tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and if you could get a chance to be out there, I think everybody should come to see this. It's probably the largest flagpole probably in Santa Cruz County.
Well, you know, Loretta,
it's gorgeous.
The great part of this, and I will be there for sure, Al Smith, who is a Watsonville Rotarian, his son, this was his Eagle Scout project.
That's his project.
And so there will be a lot of people there just to honor the Eagle Scout project and all the people that that built this flagpole. A lot of work goes into this flagpole, the lighting, the base has to be a certain way. So I will definitely be there to celebrate the fair, the flagpole, Alan Smith's son.
And I'll even come too if I'm not out of town, which I might be. I have to.
Well, if you're not out of town, make sure
be there or be square.
Okay, maybe I could get out at what? How early is this?
9 a.m.
Starts at 9 o'clock. It says everything is staying promptly at 9 o'clock. So I got to see between Dave Gabine and Dennis Howell and Al Smith and the whole gang. When they say 9 o'clock sharp, that means 9 o'clock sharp.
And it'll be over when, do you think?
It's going to be a short ceremony, and then they're going to have some refreshments afterwards.
Oh, did you say refreshments? I'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
And the refreshments are going to be right there by the Rogers House, which Loretta Estrada, I think, single-handedly persuaded hundreds of people and lots of donations to get that thing done.
So just to make sure that everybody knows the exact address, because you did invite the entire Saturday special audience.
Hey, I would love to see as many people come tomorrow as possible.
And the address is exactly?
It's right at Santa Cruz County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
East Lake Avenue.
Okay, that's easy.
Okay,
that's
easy. See you tomorrow.
Okay, Loretta, thanks.
There goes Loretta in Watsonville. And here comes Craig in San Jose. Hi, Craig in San Jose.
Hey, Michael.
Didn't mean to insult you the other day at the farmer's market.
Oh yeah. That was good seeing you again.
I said you got old, and I said, but I did too, which is true. Didn't mean to say that though.
Jeez,
I just did it again,
hill,
huh?
By the way.
What's wrong with me? All right, Craig, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, I heard you mentioning the gangs around. You say that there's gang activity now, or even right in Santa Cruz, Aptos of all places, and everything like that. And then I hear Michael Savage, he cites these statistics. He says they're FBI statistics that one-third of all federal prisoners or illegal aliens from south of the border. And it's probably higher, it probably is higher in local local county jails and other type of jails and prisons.
That's a great question for Terry Medina to verify.
Yeah, well,
what do you know about that, Terry?
I also want to ask him something else, if I can. Then I'll get off the phone here. I'm driving around. I don't want to get a ticket from the cops here. about that, the Arizona law, which the governor says mirrors federal law to enforce it. What does he think about that also? And would that help everywhere, every place? And I'll get off the phone here, and I'll take it on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. That was Craig in San Jose.
Okay, so let me just touch on the gang issue in general. I don't have any statistics with me today, but first of all, the perspective of gangs and gang violence needs to be looked at within the context of this tremendous drop in overall crime over the last many, many, many years. And since 2000, it has started to change a little bit. In other words, in 2000, crime was up. In 2001, it took a dip. In 2002, it remained the same. So in the last 10 years, it's doing kind of this rising, falling, not continual drop. So within the overall drop in crime, there is an increase in some violent crime. And a lot of that has to do with gang violence. Santa Cruz, the crime, it's interesting. I know that people stereotype Watsonville. There must be gangsters on every street corner and shootings and all this stuff. But we have followed the crime trend going down, and we have also had a rise in gang violence. Historically, just crime rates, now that's the number of crimes adjusted per population, Watsonville has had a lower crime rate than Santa Cruz. But most people just, they've never heard it or they don't believe it. And having said that, I'll say both cities don't have a great crime rate to begin with. But I always find it interesting.
What do you mean great crime? What does that mean? Low enough or high enough?
We probably have our crime rates that's adjusted to population is probably higher than it should be.
Okay.
But when you compare it against ourselves, Watsonville against Watsonville over the years, crime has gone down. It's been the same for Santa Cruz. So things in general have been improving. The problem we're having is with this whole gang subculture and violence. And there's a lot of discussion to be had about that. I see it as two pieces to this gang violence issue. One is a lot of very young people acting like they're in a movie or a video game and willing to commit violence just for red or blue or norteño or sereno without any mature thinking whatsoever, just complete reaction. That's one part of it. The other part of it is really criminal enterprise driven, more about gangs having to pay taxes for and dealing drugs. You know, most of it.
What do you mean pay
way.
Taxes? Huh? Within.
Within, yeah. So you are going to deal drugs in beach flats or downtown Santa Cruz or in certain places in Watsonville, and you're going to deal the drugs that the Norteños supply you. You're going to pay a tax on that. Or if you don't, then you're going to pay a higher tax, and if you don't pay the tax, we're going to go kill you.
So the underground economy... I thought of part of the underground economy is an underground authority also. Wow, I never thought of that. That's amazing.
And that's kind of been that way for a while. Now, the gentleman from San Jose then throws in the immigration piece to it. So I'll just be honest with you. I haven't read the Arizona law at all, not one letter of it. But I can tell you that the gangs, especially this younger kind of teenage I'll kill you kind of, you know, where are you from? And then the answer is there's never a right answer and somebody gets stabbed. You know, there's not very many illegal or undocumented immigrants participating in that. Those are almost all, you know, second, third, fourth generation people that were here. So is part of that an immigration issue? It is, but it's not as big as people want to make it to be. And I'm sure we're
that's from the horse's mouth. I didn't mean to call you a horse. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. No. But there is a legitimate issue surrounding criminals and immigration, and there's a lawful, there's a very positive part for law enforcement to play in that. But politically, it gets all messed up. So maybe we can talk about that.
Okay. Well, we can do that. If you want to call, by the way, and participate, it's 479-1080, 479-1080. In area 831, if it's a discussion you want to participate in, you're outside of area 831, you'll have to call 831 area code. Otherwise, just plain old 479-1080. So
part of that is, you know, there's just a kind of a large political group that absolutely vilifies ICE and Border Patrol and Immigration Authority as it relates to this program. Actually started in the Bush administration, where they really focus on people that get arrested, get deported, do time, and they're undocumented, or they've been deported but have never left the country for one reason or another, or they're in jails or prisons.
Sure.
And I tell you, that's a perfectly legitimate way to look at enforcing immigration laws, is to try to get rid of people that are doing bad things. The problem came with the enforcement of that policy. And I'll give you an example. So what happened would be they would have a criminal warrant or an administrative warrant for John Doe.
Yeah.
And they would go and knock on John Doe's house. I would now say it would be ICE or somebody. And John Doe would be there, so they take him in custody. But half of the house is also undocumented. So you got a grandmother and you got maybe a wife. And you have kids, but they're here, they're legal residents. So
they were born here?
Because they were born here.
Yeah.
So then what was happening, and this goes back a number of years, is they would detain everybody that was not documented, and that was creating a lot of chaos. The Obama administration, through Napolitano, changed the policy, so when they do come looking for the person that has the warrant, they are not detaining everybody. So that's really helped local law enforcement be more involved in those issues. But nobody gives none of the political people involved in politics haven't given up their dislike of ICE. They haven't seen that ICE has really changed their policy. But I'll tell you something, the federal government can help a lot in these murder investigations and some of these gang things and other things. We had a case in Watsonville. I'm going to just give you one example of federal cooperation at the immigration level, at ICE level. It had nothing to do with gangs. It's a couple lived on Walker Street.
Yeah.
The husband planned to kill the wife. And it was an elaborate plan that was going to take place in Mexico. They were going to take a trip, go to Mexico, and in fact hatch the plan, had crossed the border, had people pull her out of a car, shoot her, and The crime occurred in Mexico. She was reported as a missing person by family in the United States. And absolutely, the Watsonville PD needed the assistance of ICE in that case. So all of this has to be looked at in kind of a correct perspective. And I think that when you have undocumented people of any race, you know, we kind of focus on Hispanics, and it's you gotta know that on the northern border in Canada, there's a whole another issue of immigration violations that have nothing to do with Hispanics. But anyway, I think that it's really proper to kind of go after people that are in this country unlawfully that commit crimes. And we should be focusing a lot of attention on that.
How about people that are in this country unlawfully that don't commit crimes?
Well, that's a whole nother political can of worms there.
Or haven't commit crimes, yeah.
Yeah, in other words, they've been here for a long time and they're working and all that. Well, you know, this is out of my field of expertise, but it is a political question, and I would just
yeah. So you're a private citizen,
right?
Now you're not talking as
so
a chief.
So let me just say that I find it extremely interesting that the Bush administration came up with an immigration policy, a plan that took a couple of years to debate and got bipartisan support, which was tough to do, to get Democrats to agree to an immigration policy. And then at the end, it was derailed by his own party. You know, a lot of Hispanics hated Bush, and but he was, you know, he was born and raised in Texas, very close to Hispanics. And that was a workable by everybody's point of view, except for, I guess, the majority of his own party was workable. And so what's happened is we have Arizona and all these various states trying to figure it out.
I hate to do this, but it's news time, 11 a.m., KSCO Santa Cruz.
News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. Vice President Joe Biden is spending the 4th of July in Iraq, his goal to try and get a new government going. Elections in Iraq have been stalled after March's voting failed to produce a clear winner. Violence in Iraq has been on the upswing, too.
He will be inside a bubble of protection from the security forces, but outside the green zone where he'll be meeting the Iraqi leaders, it is still relatively dangerous. We do have attacks on Iraqi security forces and also anyone it seems linked to the government at this time. So at the moment, the violence seems to be spiking up because of this political vacuum that we have here in Iraq.
Fox's David Piper in Baghdad. Among those traveling with the vice president, President, Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Joe Lieberman. General David Petraeus making his first public comment since taking over the effort in the Afghanistan theater. The general spoke at an embassy gathering of about 1,700 in Kabul.
This is a tough mission. There is nothing easy about it. But working together, we can achieve progress. And we can achieve our mutual objective.
Petraeus arrived in Afghanistan yesterday. Petraeus is taking over for General Stanley McChrystal, who made less than flattering comments about White House officials to Rolling Stone magazine. Now, Defense Secretary Robert Gates is ordering all interviews to be cleared in advance.
Naturally, reporters worry if all interviews have to be cleared through the Pentagon, our sources are going to be less frank. But Defense spokesman Doug Wilson says it just means that reporters will hear from people who have the most complete picture of each issue.
That's Fox's Melanie Wilkes reporting from Washington. Serena Williams winning her fourth Wimbledon title today. And at the World Cup in South Africa, Germany beat Argentina 4-0. That means Germany is headed to the semifinals. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox News Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cake boss, Buddy Valastro.
My pleasure.
You know, people are loving your show, but one thing that impressed me most is a family operation, but your father had a huge influence on you.
Oh, tremendous influence. I mean, I am the man I am today because of my father and everything that he taught me, and, you know, he put me on the right path.
He didn't just teach you about baking and running a bakery, though. He taught you about character and life, and that comes through. What's the greatest lesson your dad taught you?
Always be true to who you are. And, you know, I remember being a little kid, and we would see somebody homeless on the street, and no matter what, he would always stop and give somebody homeless money. I said to him, you know, Dad, why do you do that? He says, you know, that could be me one day asking for it. And he says, you know, $5 isn't going to make me or break me. If I can help somebody out, I always do.
Be listening for more Encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
The skimmer's so big it's called a whale. The new skimmer is being tested in the Gulf of Mexico to clean up the oil spill. It's a converted tanker, and its creators say it's capable of cleaning up to 21 million gallons of oily water a day. Testing is expected to take at least 48 hours. The skimmer is owned by a shipping firm in Taiwan. Global warming is not a new concept.
Newly released documents show members of Richard Nixon's inner circle discussed global warming decades before the issue came to the public's attention. Advisor Daniel Patrick Moynihan, notable as a Democrat in the administration, urging they initiate a worldwide system of monitoring carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Nixon, who had an interest in the environment, established the Environmental Protection Agency. Moynihan's memo was among 100,000 documents released Friday. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Drivers are getting one last go at the Daytona International Speedway before the track gets a facelift.
Big changes at Daytona. The racetrack getting repaved after this week's race. Kevin Harvick says he'll miss the bumps, but...
I know it's time, and I know that you have to do what you have to do because obviously there's a lot of issues that must be underneath for them to decide to repave it.
Clint Boyer would love a victory before Daytona's renovation.
Daytona's been good to me. We've gotten close to that cup win there. And, man, I want to win on that track before they repave it.
Boyer currently in 15th place, in striking distance of making the cut for the chase. Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm RJ Tashina, Fox News Radio.
It appears Tonya Harding has gotten married again. Records in the Clark County, Washington County Clerk's Office show a marriage license was issued to the 39-year-old disgraced figure skater last month. The other half of the equation is 42-year-old Joseph Jens Price. Harding was banned from figure skating for life for her part in the 1994 attack on fellow skater Nancy Kerrigan. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your Central Coast forecast here for the weekend, actually. Today we got a few clouds this morning, then mostly sunny this afternoon. High of 74, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 54, south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 78, and west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots, increasing 10 to 15 in the afternoon. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds with patchy fog. And tonight out there, west winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming northwest after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet. West swell 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds and patchy fog again. On Sunday, it looks like we're going to get some west winds 10 knots. Wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, doesn't look like I have anything major to report at the moment. If you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, so I can let your fellow travelers know about it as well. And for current temperatures, we've got Monterey at 60 degrees. In Salinas, it's 58. And in Watsonville, it's 62. We are at 60 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time is 11:07 on this Saturday, July 3rd, 2010. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Okay, now, Nikki, normally at the top of the second hour, we play a K's commentary, the latest world premiere K's commentary. Well, something happened yesterday.
Okay.
And there was a glitch, and the new K's commentary did not get recorded. So I'm putting it out to the audience. I can't guarantee this, but I know that most people are going to be quite upset to be K's commentary-less this week. I'm not going to promise this, but I can try. If enough people call and say that they would like to hear K's commentary, the world premiere K's commentary, maybe I could get my mom on the telephone to read it live. Maybe. So you got to call 479-1080, 479-1080, and just call. You don't have to go on the air or anything. You just let you know. If they want to go on the air, they can, but just let you know. And call now. Call now. I mean, it'll be, you know, just let us know if you'd rather not, you know, that you can live without a K's commentary for a week. It's not the end of the world. Or you'd like, you've got to have it. If you've got to have it, if we get enough, I don't know, how many is enough? 300? 300 calls? I don't know. 700 calls? 1,000 calls? Well, I see the phone lines are jammed already, so okay. Here we go. And you can keep calling. You can keep calling because all you have to do is Nikki will pick it up and you could say, you want a live one or not? Or skip it. Yeah, do it. Skip it or live one. Real quick, 479-1080. Skip it or live one. Skip it or live one. And we'll play the opening theme for our, you know, that sexy woman who says, I've got to get off the phone now because KSCO has that wonderful record show, which really isn't a record show. It's a talk show. It's this talk show, the Saturday special. Okay, so you know, let's just play that because that's what we need to do, and then I will take it under advisement and make the final decision. But just keep calling 479. The phone lines are jammed. Isn't that great? That's good. All right.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
What's the deal here? I mean, so many people are calling. Nikki's giving me the finger, I understand. This is, I don't know.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go. To KSCO Radio. Bye.
What's wrong with putting it out to the audience? I mean,
you don't pay me enough to answer that many phone calls.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. So we should stop it now.
Let's stop right, people well, so, from calling.
So what did you get? 800 calls in the last 4 minutes.
I got
quite a
bit of calls, and the majority of them would like to hear it live. There were a few. Thankful not to hear it at all. So one of them thankful for the break, and then one of them said only recorded, not live.
Oh, okay. So hear it live won out though. Definitely, is that right? She's on the phone again. I think that's right, Terry. Isn't that what you heard?
That's what I heard.
Okay,
live.
So here, let's call my
live.
Mom here.
It's Kay's
let's
world.
See if we, let's call her and see if we can get her on the line here. How do you do this? Wait a minute. Am I doing something wrong here? Are you?
You're looking at me.
Yeah. No.
I was like, I don't
you're
know.
Supposed to.
Any of this stuff.
How come I can't get it on the phone? All right. Play the commercial or something, okay? While I figure out what's going on here. We could talk. But if my mom is listening, she'll know that I'm trying to call her. Maybe she can just call into the station at 479-1080 herself. If she's listening to this and feels like doing the okay, let's see if I know what I did. I needed to answer it, you know, this way here. Like, hello, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Someone is on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, I'd like to ask you, Mike, to tell your mom to make a book with all the commentaries she had. All that she's been written, reading the KCO, make a book. We like to have a book like that.
I've got a secret to tell you if you promise you won't tell anyone. Do you promise you won't tell anyone?
No. Telling the answer. No.
Then I can't tell you the secret.
No, go ahead.
All right, okay. I suppose it would be good to tell people, because if there is going to be a book, you want people to know about it, so they'll buy it.
Good.
Right.
Well, since how we're talking about it on the radio.
Yeah.
I like to see that. I'm going to buy a few.
Okay.
For me and my friend.
We're working on it right now. I'll let you know. And if all goes well, it should be out, you know, by the end of the month, okay?
I mean,
good. By the end of this month that's so young. If it's not, I mean, just understand that we're working on it, because you're not the only one who has requested this, okay?
That's good.
Okay, now guess what? Here, by the way, guess who is this, by the way?
Well, let me see the name. If I say one thing, I used to be working around your house before.
But is this Bob?
No.
Is this Joe?
Yes.
Joe! Hi, Joe!
Okay. Next time, give me my full name, okay?
Okay, that's good. Now, Joe Gregorio.
Ooh.
I'm pretty, okay, good. Now, Joe, Mom, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, say hello to Joe, who wants Joe wants you to make a book of all your commentaries. Did I do something wrong by spilling the beans?
No. Okay, thank you, Mr. Zorling. We really appreciate what you're doing for the community and the country. You are a hero, you know?
Mom, did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, shucks. Well, all right. He says that he really appreciates what you've done for what you do for the radio listeners and the country and so forth. So that's good. I don't know why they can't hear each other, but thank you.
Now I can.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Okay.
You want me to read this?
Well, wasn't that the consensus?
Okay,
Nikki?
Let's do it.
Okay, yeah. Good. Go ahead.
So I just finished reading The Political Reality of the story of the two Joes in America, Joe Legal and Jose Illegal. Most of you will anticipate what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyhow. Because we Americans are a compassionate people, for the past several decades, during which our presidents chose to leave our borders open, of course people came in illegally. Most of them were searching for a better life. Okay. But many also are criminals. Consequently, we turned ourselves inside out to help the good illegals, so much so that Jose Illegal and his family began to receive and continue to receive many perks and opportunities that are not available to Joe Legal and his family. This irony must stop because it has become overkill. One example, Jose Illegal's children are admitted to our universities often free of charge or with very low tuition, while Joe Legal must pay full tuition for his children. He's being punished for being legal, and how fair is that? When I say our compassion has become overkill, witness the marches and protests springing from among many illegals who march with a sign. Hang on a minute. Demanding free housing, free food, free education, free everything. We Americans have spoiled the illegals. They now feel entitled to all the freebies and are beginning to demand it like it is their right. During the recent campaign for president, our First Lady, Michelle Obama, called ours a mean country, despite the fact that she received a superb education, no doubt gratis, as probably did our president. No doubt that's also why he spends our money so easily. He doesn't know how hard it is to accumulate it, because according to his own resume, he never had a real job. Now, as we speak, the courageous general of Arizona wants to stop the enormous financial drain on the state from illegals pouring in. And she's asking for proof of citizenship from people coming from the border to Arizona. That's a perfectly normal request. So now our president and federal government are appalled. They don't want to hurt people's feelings by having them being asked a logical question. And Obama has been threatening to sue Arizona for enforcing the same law which the federal government refuses to enforce. This reaction from our president is irrational and crazy. And only a reckless, incompetent leader would continue to harp on new laws like cap and trade and want to further indebt us with another useless stimulate bill. Mr. President, many of us are rapidly losing confidence in your ability to lead us. For KSEO, this is Kay Swirling.
Wow, that was the first ever live read commentary, huh?
I hope it was okay.
That was wonderful. Now, the only thing you didn't it was governor, not general, right? Of
Arizona.
Of Arizona, yeah. Right? But everything was perfect.
Did I say general?
Yeah, you said general. I thought you might have meant attorney general, but then I said no.
I
you meant governor.
Governor.
Yeah,
yeah.
And here's Terry. Remember Terry when he was just a little tiny boy?
Yes. Hi, Terry.
Yeah.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I remember when you were 3 years old, three or four, and Regina was a little bit older, and you would invite her to have lunch at your house.
Right. That's
remember?
Right. Yes, of course I do.
Yeah, that's nice.
She was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen when I was that young.
You know, today happens to be her. No, yesterday was Jeannie's birthday, her 65th. Birthday.
The 65th anniversary of Regina's birth.
Well, you know, I'm sure she's like, oh, really happy that you both, you know, gave her up for 65 on the air.
Oh, she doesn't care. She's great. Yeah.
Because you don't care when we tell people that you're 89, right? Or
that's
do you
right.
care?
That's
oh.
right. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
I think it's wonderful.
Wow.
Thank you so much. And thank everybody for listening or whoever is listening.
Okay, Ma, yeah, most of the people who voted for you. Only one person voted not to hear you at all.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you, Nikki. That. Hey, so what do you think of that particular commentary?
Well, you know, I tell you, what it tells us all is that whatever administration is the president, whether it's the Obama Democrats or the Bush Republicans, that unless the bipartisanship ceases, that the federal government is not capable of an immigration policy. And that's why you see Arizona, understandably, trying to tackle it. But this is one, in my point of view, that cannot be dealt with on the state level, because immigration, just by the nature of our country, and, you know, you have to think broader than just the Mexican border, you have to have one policy. You can't have immigrants being illegal in Arizona and legal in California and something else in Idaho and something else in Florida, it can't work. So this is really a call for Democrats and Republicans and independents that we elect at the federal level to deal with this. And
they have been dealing with it by not dealing with it in unison. Right.
Exactly. And that's
right?
why you're this is
maybe gonna, they should deal with it in unison. That's what you're saying.
That's
right?
what I'm trying to say. Uh-huh. And you know, and if they don't, it's going to be more chaos than there is now.
Yeah. Well, so I understand what you're saying, but don't I personally think that and I agree with you. It's one state can't do it all, but I'm happy that one state is taking the initiative, you know, to say, hey, you know, what's right is right, and we're going to do it. Now you're saying that that's. It's just that.
Well, it ultimately can't work if you have 50 different immigration policies. But I understand that in the void of no leadership, somebody will step forward, whether you agree with it or not.
Right.
And that's what's happened here.
Right.
And, you know, it would be interesting to me. I just told you this story. Everybody, I'm sure your listeners are pretty smart, knew that, you know, Bush had this immigration policy and it had bipartisan support, and then it got killed by his own party. If that same exact policy came forward through Obama, would the Democrats support it or not? Would the Republicans support it or not?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to try answering that question? Call us at 479-1080 if you want to weigh in on it. Another thing I want to talk to you about is I know you were never the sheriff. You worked in the sheriff's office.
Right.
Had you been the sheriff,
yeah.
What would your policy, your personal policy, have been to grant carry concealed weapon permits?
Well, chiefs of police we have that authority.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was only the sheriff. Forgive me. Okay.
No, the sheriff.
So what
the
was
sheriff has that
what was your policy then?
Yeah, I was pretty tough on issuing concealed
weapons. Most California law enforcement officials are right. that way, right? There probably aren't too many that aren't.
I can tell you, as part of the California Police Chiefs Association, we did a big white paper on this a number of years ago. Matter of fact, Steve Wapple, who was the chief of police in Scotts Valley, was on the committee, the state committee. But back then, it differed between if you were on the coast or in a big urban city, you were. As a law enforcement agency.
This is the 5 minutes.
Sorry about that.
You were not giving of concealed weapons permits. If you were in the interior in the San Joaquin Valley, the sheriffs there and the police chiefs gave a lot more out until in some very small city down by Bakersfield, they noticed, I mean, it was very small, and, you know, gun permits started costing $5,000 or $6,000, and they were issuing tons of them. And it was just trying to make money to keep the department alive. And so there's now,
now
a lot of rules.
So what's wrong with that? I mean, they're talking about legalizing marijuana. That was unheard of, to raise money for the state of California. It's on the ballot, right? So
that's another huge issue. I'm not in favor of that.
But anyhow, so what about the permit to carry?
Yeah.
Do you agree that an armed society is a polite society, or how do you feel on gun control? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but let's get it going now here.
Well, the Supreme Court just 2 years ago extended the individual right to have a gun to the individual. Up until that time, it was, I believe, and determined by the courts to be a well-regulated militia. So that's been a huge change. Before that, you could own a gun just like you own a television set. It's in your house. You had the right to own it. Nobody could take it away from you. Then they just recently, 2 years ago, extended that as a constitutional right. Now that is much different. To keep the weapon, but it does not address your right to wear the gun, grocery shopping and down on Pacific Avenue or Main Street of Watsonville. That part is still up in the air. I got to tell you that I'm not in love with the idea of people walking around with guns on their hips. Mm-hmm. I don't think it makes society safer.
Okay. All righty. We're talking with Terry Medina, who was a law enforcement authority for many, many years. And what would I do? What would I do? Of course, I just think that if guns are legal, they should be legal to have concealed or not concealed. Now, if I was in law enforcement like you are, I might see things totally differently as you do.
Well, but, you can get a permit for a concealed weapon. When I would have people come and fill out all the forms and say the reasons were I go camping and I want to have a gun. Well, gosh, you could have a gun in your house and you can have a gun in your campsite. What they really wanted was to be able to carry the weapon concealed. Or I carry a lot of money to the bank. That was another
very popular thing. That's a good reason.
And I said, well, without getting into how much money, because that's really not the issue, but sometimes it would be huge amounts of money. We'd be talking about stores in Watsonville that would be banking $300,000-$400,000. And I said, oh my gosh, are you insured for that? Oh, of course. I said, are you willing to die for that? You willing to draw down on somebody and risk your life for that if it's insured? Well, I just feel better. I said, you ever thought of an armored car service? Oh, I don't want to do that because it's not very good schedule-wise. So I never really took seriously the whole thing about I have a lot of money and I go to the bank and any of that. I tell you, when I did give a gun permit, it was a family law lawyer who dealt with people in the estate who got money and some that didn't, and the ones that didn't felt that they were screwed, basically, and made a real specific threat to kill the lawyer. And we were able to verify that the potential of that person to do that was great. And Whoa. So I issued that gun permit right away.
Apparently this has touched a nerve. We got a lot of people on the line. Let's go to Steve and Marina. Steve, welcome to the Saturday special with Terry Medina and MZ.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a problem with it. I think we're concentrating so much on taking guns out of and not letting good law-abiding citizens have guns, but we're, you know, the criminals and the bad people have guns left and right. And we're constantly trying to find ways to have good people not have guns, but not have bad people not have guns. So I think it's very important as law-abiding, taxpaying citizens that we have that right, and we should be able to get one. Whether this gentleman thinks, you know, our reasons aren't up to what his reasons should be, that's kind of irrelevant. There's very, very, very few concealed weapons permit-carrying people that have been convicted of using their gun in a violent crime. There might not even be 10. I mean, it's very, very small. People who have a concealed weapons permit, who are law-abiding citizens, do not commit crimes, violent crimes, with their guns. That's just a proven fact. So I don't know why we're so concerned with not letting those people have their guns.
Okay.
Well, let me just tell you that I agree with most of what you say. There's certainly no prohibition in the United States about law-abiding people having guns. We probably have more guns per individual in this country than any place else in the world, and that's never been an issue.
However, I cannot get a concealed weapons permit here. I have one for Utah, Wyoming, Nevada, and Arizona, but I cannot, and they will not, give me one here.
Do you carry it anyhow?
At times.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say.
You know, not maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if I go on vacation, I'll take it. But no, I don't. I do take cash from my work to my bank, and I do all that. But I do, you know, live by the law that I'm supposed to. But I just find it unbelievable that I cannot get one because someone else thinks, well, that's not a good enough reason. They say, you're taking cash to the bank? Well, then call the police. Really? So if I'm being robbed, I have to call the police. And now I'm not saying I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot someone. But if they know that you have a gun, they do not attack you. They do not rob you, period.
Well, that would be would be the argument to carry an exposed gun.
Yeah.
But, you know,
and can you do that?
No.
So
that's
you
not.
You can't do anything in that.
And that's
I mean,
not
literally.
Within the purview.
See, now that's crazy.
But that's not within the purview of a sheriff or a chief of police to carry an exposed gun. That's just not permitted. Period.
Who made up that?
I don't know.
So how can a citizen protect themselves from bad people with guns? How? Can you give me two ways to do that?
What a great question.
Well, most people. You know, this is going to invite a million callers here because
it's okay.
because you get into what if, you know, what if I can't call 911? What if I can't run? What if I can't do this? So the fact is that most people that are victims of crime or feel threatened, and by the way, most of them are women, find a way to get it reported, get help. Without having to shoot somebody, I guess, is probably the bottom line.
Okay, I want to thank Stephen and Marina. Got a bunch of other callers here, so thank you, Stephen and Marina. Here is our next caller, Phil in Santa Cruz. Phil, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to clarify one thing. Your guest is certainly entitled to his opinion, but he's totally misrepresented the Constitution and the Second Amendment. The Supreme Court did not grant a new right. It just confirmed the right that was there from day one. It says
it's not true.
It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the preservation of a free state. The word regulated in the Federalist Papers and everything else means controlled. In other words, the people have to be as well armed as the army so that the army doesn't take over. The second one, and the one that really can stand alone without the first phrase even being there, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Bear means to carry. It doesn't mean to have it locked in your closet. To bear arms means to carry. The right of the people, not of the army, not of the militia, but of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed by the Congress or anybody else. It's simple. You really have to twist your brain around to interpret it any other way.
Okay, Phil, thank you for calling the Saturday special.
Okay.
Phone number, by the way, is 479-1080 in area 831 if you want to call and weigh in. We do have some open lines now. Dan in Santa Clara, it's your turn.
Hey, thanks, MZ.
Sure.
The last caller hit it right on the nose. Not only is it a constitutionally guaranteed right to keep and bear arms, but it's also a God-given right. We have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have the right to our lives and to protect our lives. And when people in law enforcement say that you don't have the right to protect your own life, I find it absolutely appalling. Do they think that they're the only ones who are supposed to be the armed protectors of our lives? And if we're in danger, we're supposed to just call them? No, by the time they get there, they're there with a body bag ready to take us out. You know, I want to know this guy's opinion on whether we have the right to protect ourselves.
Of course you do. But it completely comes from the perspective of the situation that you're in. It's not a it's not a perspective that makes it very easy.
How do you know what situation I'm going to be in when I'm out in the city in the middle of the night in a dark alley and some guys jump out of nowhere and try to beat me with pipes? How do you know that situation is not going to come up?
And I understand I'm going to get all these what ifs, but just let me focus
on. These are what ifs that happen every day, my friend.
Let me focus on the previous caller and your caller. If it was so easily interpreted, as has been said, then the issue wouldn't have been just decided by the United States Supreme Court just 2 years ago as it relates to the Constitution.
Do you know about the McDonald decision also, by the way, that just came down last week? Are you familiar with that case at all that extends the right to keep and bear arms to the individual states?
I knew that there was a decision, but I haven't read it, and I don't know about it. But what I'm trying to say is this.
Go ahead.
That we can all read the words of the Constitution and believe.
And they're easy to understand.
Well,
the right
you would you would think it would have been for all these years, but it took a debate for how many decades and decades for the Supreme Court, who tells us what it's supposed to mean, until 2 years ago, to change it from being owning a weapon would be like owning anything else to
a constitutional
right.
I disagree. I think we've had a long history of private firearm ownership in this country. It's been a respected right,
and we still
for
have.
The last 200 years.
Yeah, correct.
And it's been challenged by people like Barack Obama, who go to law school to learn how to parse and you know, look at the language of the Constitution and try to make it into something that it's not. And that's why there's been so many challenges to the Second Amendment by organizations like the Brady Campaign, who, by the way, are going bankrupt
right. Because
the people's opinion are turning against things like gun control nowadays. Right.
But let me just tell you, I don't think that we are the previous listeners here that are obviously very passionate about gun rights. I own guns. I shoot guns. I go hunting.
Good. So why shouldn't you be able to take a gun with you when you leave the house concealed? I bet you can't you? I bet you have a permit, don't you? But I don't.
No, I don't have a permit, but...
But if you wanted one, you could probably get one, couldn't you?
Well, as a retiree,
you know,
I'm allowed to carry one. And
yeah,
as
so
a matter
you are allowed to protect yourself, but I'm not allowed to protect myself.
Well, you know what? I choose not to. I have the
ability... Well, that's your choice. My choice is to not be a slave and to be able to protect myself from people that want to hurt me and my family. If you want to be a coward who doesn't carry, that's your choice. But why should you make that decision for me? That's all I have to say. Goodbye.
There goes Dan in Santa Clara. If you want to call us, it's 479-1080. Here's an email, just in, from Terry Reed, MZ. The solution is easy in the subject line. No need to chase farm workers in the fields like the Border Control used to do. If someone commits a real crime, then use the immigration laws against them. Illegal aliens are not allowed to possess firearms. It says so right on the BATF paperwork that buyers fill out in the stores. They can't go into Markley's and buy a gun either. Violating the Federal Gun Control Act of 1968 is not enough reason to call ICE in San Francisco or Los Angeles. Gavin Newsom kills innocent people with political correctness. Hating the feds was popular in Santa Cruz, too. Then the crap hit the fan in late 2009. MS-13 gangsters did a mob hit in a Beach Flats apartment complex. They killed two more teenagers for kicks. People got angry at City Hall. But the police chief brought the feds to town. They aren't just after the Mexicans. An Italian citizen was caught dealing in kiddie porn, and the police chief called ICE in a matter of minutes. It's time to round up these gangsters, anarchist vandals, and those animal rights terrorists, too. Thank you, Terry Reed. Let's see. Back to the phone lines now. Who should be next here? I think that's...
Let's talk about murder or something in my career. This whole Second Amendment thing gets crazy.
Okay. Well, here, real quick here. Rick in Watsonville. I won't keep... You're on the air.
Okay.
Hi,
hello, Mark and Terry.
Hi.
I think the last two gentlemen that just called that seriously, they are thinking like the 70% of the honest Americans in this country. Now, Terry, I truly believe, having worked for a city as a fireman, working close with the police, that as a police chief, your answers that I've been listening to, they are in line with politics instead of in line with the everyday man on the street as a citizen, which you are now. Now, you are allowed by the police department, by your organization, to carry and have firearms because you were in law enforcement. Now that you're a citizen, that should be taken away, and you should have to apply just like every other California citizen. And if you're denied, then just like every other California citizen to carry concealed, then you should be denied. That's the American fair constitutional way. And I think that is what you should think about and go to work on.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I don't know when the law was made that granted retirees the right to carry a weapon if they wanted. But I will tell you, it's been heavily restricted in the last 5 or 6 years. It's not a lifetime grant, and they have to almost go through the same things once a year as people that get apply for a permit. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that if they jump through the hoops, they get the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, that there is no police chief that I know that has to follow any political doctrine whatsoever. The fact that we're appointed and not elected really protects us from that kind of politics. And you can make truly professional decisions.
Well, when you're,
it's just a lot of people would just disagree with their decisions, and I understand that.
Yeah, but what I understand from my tenure, when you're in that environment, you politically agree with most of the stuff. Otherwise, you get out. I mean, that's the natural thing to
do.
You mean you're driven out?
Is that what you mean?
Pardon me?
You mean you're driven out, right?
No, you yourself say, I don't believe in what's going on in this politics and me having to think like this, so I'm leaving.
Oh, I see.
The story. Now,
well, yeah.
One other, if I may, can I, Mark, can I get off the subject just a little bit with Terry?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Just a comment.
I think he would prefer it, actually.
okay, great. I've been here many years now in Watsonville, and there is a serious problem, and I've talked to many police officers. The current police chief won't even give me the time of day to talk to him about this, but I've come up with solutions. But the problem is noise in this city. Now, I'm addressing it with only two pinpoint things: the noise in the vehicles that drive by. That's one. They do nothing about it. And there's a law on the books, but they ignore it. The other one is in neighborhoods where it should be, you come home to rest, peace and quiet. They have a party on the weekend and you can't rest. Now, there are solutions to this. And when Kimberly was the mayor, I sat for an hour in each meeting and described it in detail what the solution could be. It necessarily would make the city money. They ignored it completely. So I'm at the point now, if I can't get some help from someone like yourself with some backbone in a key to the back door and get something done, as a senior here in the senior section, I'm just going to have to move away to a different town and find out.
Do you feel, Rick, do you feel like giving
what their laws in are about noise,
mm-hmm.
and do they enforce it?
Rick, sure. Do you feel like giving your a way to contact you on the radio now, like an email address or something, if someone's out there might want to help you?
Yeah, I had, the police gave me the name of some young man that sounded like he was 16 years old, or what was called, what do you call, neighborhood watch?
Yeah.
Well, that's a joke.
No, I'm talking about you putting out a way for people to contact you, not you contact some person that you think is 16.
I can call you or after the show.
Sure, sure.
On the same number, then fine.
So, Rick, do you live out in the villages, right? Bay Village or
Tahoe
Village?
Yes, I do.
The noise issue is one that does come up, and I completely understand what you're saying. The police department does issue quite a few tickets every year. I used to have to give a report or answer that complaint every and now and then. So I would have our crime analyst figure out how many tickets a year we wrote for that. And, it's probably never enough, but I know the city of Santa Cruz and the city of Watsonville have just passed some ordinances to improve our ability using local ordinance rather than state law in dealing with loud noise and rowdy parties.
That's got to be good news.
Manny Solano, when he was a deputy chief with me, was kind of the master of helping write that ordinance. So I can make sure. I'm sure Manny would call you back. He may want other people to call you, but. If you leave a number once you get off the phone with the engineer or somebody here,
I'll put you on hold.
I will have somebody give you a call. But I understand that the noise is an issue. People want more done about it, but it is being made easier for the local entities to handle it with local ordinances easier than with state law.
Okay, Rick, I'm going to put you on hold now. Nikki, he's on line 11. You could pick up and get a contact number for Rick, please. And we've got Paul in Monterey and Adam in Salinas, number of other callers here. So let's go back to the – and we only have just about 12, 13 more minutes. We've got to do the commercial break too. But Paul in Monterey, you're on the KSCO Saturday special.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay.
Radio down, please.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I go camping a lot with my wife, and we go state parks. There is, like – the O'Neill Forbay, St. Louis Obispo. There's no protection because there's been a lot of issues. Guys driving around at nighttime, banging radios, the boom boxes, etc. Number one.
Right.
Number two, L.A. riots. Where were the police with their guns and the citizens didn't have them? The only ones who were able to protect themselves were the Koreans that sat up on the roofs with rifles, no
right.
handguns.
I remember
so
that.
Where was the police? Hello?
That was a pretty dysfunctional situation.
Well, what's going to happen, God forbid, if California went upside down and people didn't get welfare? That's the word if. But what was going to happen? You think they wouldn't be looting? And who's going to protect people? The police, in all rights, should be home protecting their own family. But who's going to protect the average citizen?
Well, just let me address this. All citizens have the ability and the right to have weapons in your home and one in your business or however many you need to protect yourself. That is not in dispute. It gets tangled up in the discussion, but the Koreans that you mentioned in Los Angeles defended their business lawfully, and so that's not an issue. People have the ability to do that. Where it gets confusing is when we start talking about carrying loaded guns in the open and concealed and all that, and that's it gets all balled up. Let me tell you this, and this will drive people out there in radio land crazy, but you know, one of the greatest law enforcement officers, debatably, in the history was Wyatt Earp. And what did he use to control problems in Wichita, Dodge City, Tombstone? He made everybody check their guns before they came into town. And I'm not an advocate of that because you have a right to have them. But there's also a right for government to regulate that in certain manners. And that's what makes everybody crazy.
But the government can't protect us. They won't protect us. Look what's going down on the Mexican border. They won't protect the average American citizen. They put up a sign, National Park, don't go in here because you could be murdered by a drug dealer. They're admitting that they know there are drug dealers in our national parks, and they do nothing about it.
Hey, Paul. Have you called the station before?
Not today.
No, any other time?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, this is the first time I've heard you. Oh, what a great caller. Okay, well, just thank you for calling the Saturday special.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Here's here's Adam in Salinas, California. Adam, you're on KSCO.
Hey, the last three callers really, stole my thunder. I could repeat everything they said, but
what Terry is just confirming my worst fears, man, of what law enforcement thinks about the average private law-abiding citizen. I'm not going to repeat it what everybody else said, but I could say ditto as to what everybody else said. You are aware, you are aware, right, that there are almost 40 states in the union that have shall issue, you know, on the books in the law. It is a they are shall issue states. And have you followed the record of what crime does after that law is passed, where your average law-abiding citizen can go in for an instant background check and be issued a concealed weapons permit the same day? Are you aware of the record that you know that those states hold?
Well, they hold the same drop in crime as the ones that don't. I mean, crime has been falling. It's just recently that it has been, at least locally, been rising. You're in Salinas, you certainly know that. I find it interesting that people get upset or they think I'm disagreeing with them. I agree with people owning and having rights. The disagreement that I guess
that is the whole disagreement that's happening today is that you don't seem to believe that we should be able to carry concealed.
Well, neither does the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has not ruled on that. They have not said you can walk around with an loaded gun on your hip. That's not part of the ruling yet.
But right, but then that doesn't mean that it's right. I'll tell you, I carry a concealed weapon whenever I am with my family. Policemen are first responders. There's a reason for that term. They respond. It, whatever it may be, has already happened.
Right.
So who is the first line of defense for my wife and my two girls? It's me, and it's going to be me, and it will always be me, and I will carry a concealed weapon with my family whenever I am out with my family. And, you know, really, California has a de facto carry law, I believe. It's a misdemeanor for a first offense to be caught, if you are caught. But I'm telling you, it has struck a nerve. This is a big deal to me, and I can tell it's a big deal to a lot of people in California. We need a shall-issue law in California.
Were you listening to the entire program, Adam?
I clipped in right when the gun discussion came up, I was working, and I stopped everything because I.
All right. Well, listen. Thanks for calling, Nikki. How many minutes of commercials do we have? Is that it for the phone? We got 4 minutes. Okay, we can put Nick and Carmel on real quick. That'll be the last caller. Nick, you're on the air.
Yeah. Number one, the Supreme Court does not make law, as your guest is trying to tell us, okay? If you read the Federalist Papers, the origins of the Constitution, every man like Jefferson is to be armed. And it also, if you look at Florida, when they first...
You mean they have to be armed? You mean they have the right to be armed?
They have the right, but Jefferson said, let every man be armed. That was our free society. But again, real quick, when Florida first passed their concealed carry permit laws, the homicide rate went down 30% in the first year. So again, all the statistics are there to support it.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
I got to tell you, though, the Supreme Court makes case law. That's where...
They make
case law. That's what guides what police do.
Yeah.
And so does the
They're supposed to be the ultimate interpreter
of case law, and they make case law. The California Supreme Court makes case law. That's what police men and women have to follow when it's search and seizures, guns, or anything else. I mean, we don't make the laws, we follow the laws.
Oh, my God, we got to do the commercials. Okay, are you ready, Nikki? Thank you very much. Okay, all right, thank you.
Dave Allen here. In case you haven't heard, Pharmacist Ben will be back here Thursday, July 8th at 7 p.m. in Santa Cruz. The last time, a little stuffy and crowded. This time, there will be a spacious facility. at the Pacific Cultural Center on 1307 Seabright Avenue on the corner of Seabright and Broadway at the Morrissey exit. Promises Bend, July 8th, 7 p.m. Hey, that rhymes. For more information, go to vitaminben.com. That's vitaminben.com. Come down and try a free sample of the Paul LeBurse Scottish Juice Blend. A special blend, yeah. That's Thursday, July 8th at 7 p.m. at the Pacific Cultural Center in Santa Cruz, off Morrissey. Now, vitaminben.com. Go to vitaminben.com. Hope to see you there. Take care.
I've learned a few things cruising this coastline the last 30 years. Let's be clear about it. Dumping sewage anywhere in our waterways pollutes the environment. It's simple. Remember to plan ahead. Boats with holding tanks must pull in and pump out at shoreside pump-out stations. If you have a boat without a holding tank, plan your trip to use shoreside restrooms.
Don't waste away our waterways. Proper disposal of sewage protects our waterways. Dump at the pump.
Hey, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
For more information, visit our website at boatresponsibly.com. Brought to you by the California Department of Boating and Waterways.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your property's wildfire fuel load. Now for some good news from Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development. Turnpike's Hydro Axe Mulching Service can turn your weeds and brush into soil-conserving mulch just like that. And brush mulching is good for your soil, good for preventing fires, and good for preventing erosion. Don't wait until it's too late. Pick up your phone and call for Turnpike's Hydro Axe. The Hydro Axe will shred and mulch your coyote brush, manzanita, and poison oak choked acreage, and clear your fire breaks faster than you can say lickety-split. Turnpike Development can also handle all your excavation, septic, drainage, and utility needs. Turn your fire hazard into a soil-conserving mulch. Call Turnpike Development today for fast, safe, and cost-effective brush clearing. That's Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712. 818-1712 or turnpikedevelopment.com. That's turnpikedevelopment.com.
KSCO has some office space for rent at our studios at 2300 Portola Drive. We're looking for a business that is complementary to KSCO, probably a media-related business, to locate its main or satellite office at KSCO and be part of our daily beehive of activity. An ad agency, web designer, or video company would be ideal, but we're open to all proposals. The rent would include live telephone reception service, use of office machines, and high-speed internet. If you or someone you know might be interested in renting office space at KSCO, send an inquiry email to me, mz@ksco.com. Stand by. Oh, guess what? That's the end of the show. Terry, great show. Thank you. There are a lot of things we didn't get to.
We didn't get the murder or the budget situations, Maywood PD going out of business.
Why don't we just preempt the next program? You know, except that Dr. Rotary, Stan and Donald are already here.
We got carried away with guns.
Okay, well, what we could...
Good to see you, though.
You, too. When you come back next time, you be the host, and that way that won't happen, for sure. You know, thanks very much, Terry Medina. It was great to have you, great to see you. And that's the end of the program, so that's all, folks. See you next week. Have a great 4th of July.
Hear the that's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
One team with one mission.
The general apparently trying to bridge the civilian-military rift, described by his predecessor, General Stanley McChrystal. And as if to underscore that, Ambassador Carl Eikenberry handed him an embassy access badge.
Welcome aboard.
and you're welcome at this embassy, as we say, 24/7.
General Petraeus then went into military briefings. On Sunday, there'll be a flag passing ceremony to show he has assumed command here. In Kabul, Alistair Wanklin, Fox News Radio.
Another win at Wimbledon for Serena Williams.
And that's four for Serena.
As heard on NBC, Williams beat 21st-seeded Vera Shvanareva of Russia in straight sets, 6-3, 6-2. Williams has topped Wimbledon four times now and earned 13 Grand Slam titles. That includes today's win. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Every primary, every crucial event, this summer, Fox Business covers it best. Smart, sharp, on the money, as it all unfolds. No one covers the business of politics like Cavuto. For powerful political coverage, stay with Fox Business Network.
The One Show, exposing outrageous crimes, shocking verdicts, and the cases America's buzzing about.
I think she will be charged for abuse.
I would have given him the mask.
The Legal Eagles tackle what the mainstream media won't touch. It's just one of the reasons why The Factor rules.
The Willis Report is on. Smart, trusted, and on point. Jerry Willis gives it to you straight.
It's not what we were promised, not by a long shot. Certainly, I think people are going to be keeping an eye on this.
Investigating top business stories, outing corporate scams, and policing D.C. policy.
I wish the Congress would feel the obligation to actually explain it to us.
Jerry Willis, uncovering the real stories behind the business headlines.
It's going to be shocking.
Check in with the Willis Report on the Fox Business Network.
Beaches along the Gulf Coast should be packed with tourists this holiday weekend, but they are not.
NOAA has released a forecast based on historic current and weather patterns to indicate where oil may eventually show up. Of course, from the mouth of the Mississippi east to the Florida Panhandle, an 81 to 100% chance that oil will eventually, if not already, impact the sand. But if you look at the coast of Texas, their forecast is 40% or maybe down to 1%. However, once you get to Key West, the Florida Keys, Miami, and Fort Lauderdale, based on the patterns and the loop current situation, there is a 61 to 80% chance that oil will impact that region.
That's Fox's Phil Keating in Grand Isle, Louisiana. Meantime, crews in the Gulf are testing what's being called the world's largest skimmer. The A-Whale is a converted tanker. Its makers are hoping it will clean millions of gallons of seawater tainted with oil. The Coast Guard is expecting testing to take around 48 hours. Searchers are still looking for Eric Lewis. He vanished while climbing Mount Rainier in Washington. The 57-year-old experienced climber appears to have unclipped his rope near the summit. 4th of July weekend. It's time for sand, swimming, and cooking outside.
One thing to remember, fat equals flavor. So pick cuts with more marbling, which is those light streaks of white stuff running through it.
What happens on the grill is that fat will caramelize and give, whether it be pork or beef, a bump of extra flavor.
Pitmaster Chris Lilly of Big Bob Gibson's Barbecue in Decatur, Alabama also says to go for meat with nice color and uniform thickness so it'll cook evenly. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
There's a lot of abandoned satellites up there. Now a new Air Force satellite is going up to keep an eye on all that so-called space junk. The $500 million surveillance system is going to have an unobstructed view of all that heavy traffic. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuning Japanese. You're tuned into KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James, and I've got your forecast for this 4th of July weekend. Today we got cloudy, mostly sunny later, though, high of 74. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Low of 54 with the south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday mostly sunny, high of 78, and the west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 knots, increasing 10 to 15 knots this afternoon. The wind waves 2 to 3 feet and a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds. Tonight, west winds 10 to 15 knots, becoming northwest after midnight. Wind waves 2 to 3 feet with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds. And Sunday, west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 10 seconds. For your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I have a couple things to report to you here. There was a traffic collision at 1140 this morning, southbound 17, just south of Paso Tiempo Drive. And apparently the vehicle was in the center divide, and it's moved over the right side for right now. But that will slow you down on the 17th. And then also 9, Highway 9 at Juanita Woods Road, there was a traffic collision blocking the road there too. So, but if you see anything out there, let me know so I can let all your fellow travelers know by calling me at 475-1080. And as far as current temperatures go, let's see, we've got Watsonville 67, Monterey 61, Salinas 65, and we are at 61 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time, 12:07:15 on this Saturday, July 3rd, 2010. Up next, we've got Perspective. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me in the studio to host the show is Dr. Stanley Monteith. Dr. Monteith, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Donald. And you know what was Edward Bernays, who was actually Sigmund Freud's nephew, who actually wrote back in 1920 in a book called Propaganda. And this is what he said. He said the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the opinion